Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Last Thursday night, I laying in bed, I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning, which is not unusual for me. And the Lord has done a great work. When I was young, I had an overactive imagination, and as I, as I was in perversion, that imagination would take me to places that I always wouldn't want to be. But when God renews your mind, the imagination is an incredible place to hang out. You know what I mean? Like you can solve all the world's problems when you're just laying there and reflecting on the Lord and let your imagination go. And I was laying in bed, and I won't give you the fullness of the story, but I was imagining my life and just playing around, and I'd known in this imagination, in this what I was dreaming up, that I was worth a net worth of $17 billion. How many would like that imagination? Be like, yeah, we could sew into a lot of things. But in the midst of my worth, I imagined setting up what I called legacy accounts. And in these legacy accounts, I set a total of $5 billion aside, 10,000 accounts of $500,000, so that any child, whether it be my five or my current one or beyond, grandchildren that were born into my lineage, at the time of birth, this account would be released into their name. And as I just stayed on this, As I just began, and it didn't stop that night. It just continued on. I'm still thinking about it today. I'm doing totals on how it would look and what it would be, And I realized, and it didn't take me long to realize, but I realized that those who were currently children would get a certain amount, but as the years went on, as the months compounded and the interest just kept on going and the total kept going up, those who would be born years from now would benefit greater in this from these accounts than the ones that are living now. And if you put it in a high interest savings account, in 1 year you would go from $500,000 to about $1.6 million just on interest alone. So we always consider these things, and I'm not one. I'm the guy who says I would not want to be around when Jesus was in the earth because I don't know how I would receive him. But there are those who want to be around when the early church was going and hopping and the miracles were happening and everything was just on fire. And we see at any moment, anything could break out. But I want to tell you this, and it was shown to me a long time ago, that those who are in heaven now, who we say that we want to hear their story, are waiting for us to get there so that they can ask us about our story. About how we survived the coronavirus outbreak of 2020 and we stood strong. And we said, no, we're not going to give in to fear. And we're going to come at this head on and we're going to believe in faith that God has an answer for whatever is going on in the world right now. And in the midst of our lineage, there will be somebody that stands in the last of the last days. So when they get to heaven, I want to ask them about what it was like. If it's not me, I want to know what it was like to stand in the last of the last days. This verse is always, or these verses have always been a go-to for me. It's out of Psalm chapter 78, verse 5 to 8. It says this. I'm going to read out of the Passion for this verse. Or these verses, it says, the story of Israel is a lesson in God's ways. He established decrees for Jacob and established the law in Israel, and he commanded our forefathers to teach them to their children. For perpetuity, just the ongoing of God's ways will be passed down from one generation to the next, even to those not born yet. In this way, every generation will have a living faith in the laws of life and will never forget the faithful ways of God. Verse 8 says, by following his ways, they will break the past bondage of their fickle fathers, who were a stubborn, rebellious generation, and whose spirit strayed from the eternal God. They refused to give, to love him with all of their hearts. There's four or five generations just caught up in these verses right here. So the writer writes that God set his ways in Jacob. He gave his laws to Moses, and he passed them on to another generation, and he passed them on to another generation, and they passed them on to the next generation, so that understanding God's ways and living in God's ways, they would not be like their fathers, and they would not be stubborn, but they would love God with their whole heart. See, in this house, and in my life, this is where we set an example for our children that will ultimately impact the destiny of their children. So I'm going through this entire process of these legacy accounts, and it wasn't that big in the moment, but it was big as I began to reflect on it. And then Tuesday morning at staff, we are sitting there and we're doing our devotion and we're praying, and all of a sudden they start playing this song that we just sung. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? This is everything that I've been trying to process for the last few days. Understanding, when I turned 35 years old, I knew in my heart there was something that burned in me, just a father. Just a father, just to sow, just to give, to impart what I knew and to impart what I learned, impart what I walked through, impart what I became victorious in to just someone. To those who desired to sit down and listen. Because I understood there was two ways you learned, mentor or by mistake. And I wanted to be the one that would be able to have them, allow them to bypass any mistakes, because they could walk on me as a bridge to get over. Psalm 145 and verse 4 says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And what I don't want to overdo in these days is over-spiritualize the word legacy and what legacy really is. We have a habit of doing this in the church where we over-spiritualize everything to a point where one who is just simple doesn't understand how they can sow legacy in. I have one job, I have one opportunity, and that's to sow into who's at my feet right now. Whether it be my biological or spiritual children. Legacy is just handing something that you have to another. It's about passing down what's been entrusted to you. I can't do that to 30 generations down the road, but I can do it to the ones who are at my feet right now. I can give what has been given to me to another. I can only pass what I have in my hand right now. There are things in us, whether we believe it or not, good and bad, that have been imparted, that are a part of our legacy, that have been given to the generations before us, from our father and our mother and our aunts and our uncles and our friends, those who have gone before us. They have imparted something into our lives, whether it be good or bad. It's a part of the legacy that they've left in our lives. But the greatest thing that we can do in this day, especially in this day, and the greatest legacy that we can leave is a legacy of faith and a legacy of pursuit. Because in my opinion, they go hand in hand. We have a friend back in London who, he's a pastor of a church. And he was sitting with some friends and neighbors of theirs that are not believers, but they have befriended over the years. They were sitting down, they were playing games, they were playing board games. And this man is 65 years old, and I don't know how old his neighbors are. And he's pastored this church for 35 years and been very successful at it. He is just a great voice in the city of London. And his neighbors, who aren't believers, asked him, why is it that in a time of anxiety and of fear and of sickness, that churches are shutting their doors? And listen, he wasn't saying it. He wasn't telling it to belittle or to speak against any other work. But it was just a question. It's a valid question. And it's a question that I have in my heart. Why in the world, in this time, if there was 15 people in this house, would we want to shut down and not give an opportunity for those who are in need of healing, those who are in need of freedom from fear, to step out of it? Because the legacy that we want to leave to our children and our spiritual children and the generations to come is a legacy of faith, not fear. And by you sitting in this place today, you are saying, I am not afraid. I'm not full of fear. I'm not full of anxiety. Listen, I might have questions. Listen, I've got questions. I might not want to shake your hand. I might fist pump. That's wisdom. And listen, I want to hug every single one of you. I'm a hugger. I'm a lover. I want to do that. But I ain't. You go to Russell. He'll hug you. Man's made of steel. I'm gonna fist bump you today. And maybe next week too. But I'm not gonna sit here and I'm not gonna live in fear and say, listen, I'm so afraid of what's going on in the world right now that I'm just gonna hide in my basement so nothing can touch me. Listen, I know what's in me. I know what's in you. I know the power that has been imparted into you by heaven, by Holy Spirit, by Jesus himself, at the word of the Father. There is a legacy of faith and pursuit in you that you will sow. With every hand lifted, with every voice spoken, with every word spoken, you are planting, you are opening up, you are writing your legacy that you are going to sow into your children and those behind you. One of the greatest accounts of leaving something behind, in my opinion, is Moses to Joshua. And let me tell you why I like this account. Because Moses had it in his heart to take his people, the Israelites, into the promised land. And because of a place that he ended up in his heart, and I believe he lost patience, and the Lord just was like, you know what, I can't have that. Is God a mean God? He's not. God is a very just God. And because of what happened at Kadesh, when the Lord spoke to Moses and said, hey, you speak to the rock and I will cause its water to come forth. You will call it out. And Moses, in losing patience with the people of Israel, those who had just been whining and complaining for years. Anybody can attest to your children whining and complaining at your feet and make you lose your patience? Just me? Okay. I'll cookie you. You want a cookie? I'll cookie you. What's that even mean, you know? Moms, don't tell me you never said those kind of things to your children. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 3. I want to talk to you about leaving a legacy to a generation that will sow into a generation that will sow into a generation that will sow into a generation. I'm sorry, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3. To 1,000 generations. In verse 23 of Deuteronomy chapter 3, Moses is pleading with the Lord. He says in verse 24, he says, Oh Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like the works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good. Let me see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me on this matter. But go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes towards the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes. Behold it with your eyes. For you shall not cross over this Jordan. Listen, I'm going to show you about this land, but I can't let you cross because I've already said it and I got to stay true to my word. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you see. He shall go over. He shall take the people. He shall fulfill the work that I caused you to begin. Listen, this is a big deal. Because of what Moses had in his heart. And the desire that he had. And the work. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. He put in work. For years, he led this people that were so fickle, so angry, so whiny, so complaining. And then the Lord says to him, I can't let you take them across the Jordan. I can't let you step foot in. What does that do to a man who has put in work? And the Lord says, you're not doing it anymore. But that young man that's been hanging around, that young man that has been around your feet, that young man that has been here and there and everywhere with you, he is the one that I'm choosing to take my people across, to take this people across. You know what that does to somebody in a ministry mindset? It causes him to look at this young man with jealousy in his eyes, with anger in his heart. This is, I'm going to do everything in my power to destroy him. I'm going to do everything in my power to quash him. I'm going to do everything in my power to keep him back and to hold him down and to discourage him to a place where he's not going to want to go across. He's not going to want to lead anymore, that he's not even going to want to be in ministry. But you know what that says to a father? It's my son. And it's just an honor to play a part in his life. Oh, the things that my son will see, the things that I'll never see. The things that I will never have an opportunity to see, he's going to get to see. He's going to get to do. He's going to get to walk on the land that I've wanted to walk on since the Lord sowed it into my heart. He's going to get to do these things. He's going to get to see these things. He's going to get to hold these things. He's going to get to live these things out. Listen, it's a beautiful thing when you see your sons and your daughters pick up vision, pick up understanding. It's a beautiful thing when you see them walking out. Listen, and it was already in Joshua's heart. I don't see, and I can't see on one account where Moses sat Joshua down and said, listen, this is the proper way to lead people. Let me give you 6 steps on how to raise somebody up. Let me give you 6 steps on how to lead. I've never seen this. All Joshua did was stay in close proximity. Listen, and even back in the beginning, when Moses began to talk about what God wanted to do through him and through them, Joshua and Caleb picked up the vision and picked up the heart that when they sent the spies into the land, 12 came back, 10 with a poor report and 2 with a good report. And Joshua and Caleb said, well, listen, you don't understand. Yeah, we're not denying that these things are going on in the land, but there is a vision, there is a promise that is attached to this. And I'm going to tell you right now that if God has promised it, God is going to give it. If God has promised it, God is going to give it. So we might have to go through some trials. We might have to go through some tribulation. We might have to fight a little bit. But God has a land that is set up for us. Joshua and Caleb understood this because they watched their father walk in a confidence and in knowing that this is what God spoke to my heart. this is what God gave me. This is the understanding that He's sown into me, and I'm going to stand firm in it. And there's nothing that's going to make me so afraid that I'm going to run the other way. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not saying that there's not going to be scary things that arise in this world. I'm not saying that there's not going to be scary things that visit our home. I'm not saying that there's not going to be trial and tribulation that visit our homes and our marriages. I'm not saying that. But there's a promise that God has attached to your life, that if you stand firm in it, your sons and your daughters will pick up on it and say, "My father sold this into me, and I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere." I'm going to tell you right now, Moses wasn't trying to duplicate himself. He wasn't trying to clone himself. He just let this kid hang around because he saw something in him. Listen, there was accounts of Joshua when Moses would be in the tabernacle. And the Bible says that Moses would speak to God as a man would speak to a friend. Can you imagine that? We have so complicated our prayer life. We have so complicated our communication with God, thinking that it's got to be formed in a certain way. I'm so thankful that Moses set the example that I could just talk to God as He's one of my friends. And I could say, "Hey, God, listen, I'm struggling right now, man. And I need You to come help me. I need You to lead me through this." Or I can ask Him, you know what? I pray stupid prayers like this. "Hey, God, when I play hockey tonight, just give me eyes to see the game because I want to play well. So show me avenues, lanes, things I can do." And guess what? God is with me on the ice rink just as much as He is with me in the pulpit, just as much as He is with me at home. It doesn't matter. God is with you, and He wants to talk to you. He just wants to communicate with you. That's all He wants to do. And there would be accounts of Moses in the tabernacle talking as a man talks to a friend. He would just talk to God. And then he would leave. And you know what Joshua would do? He would just stay there in the residue. And he would say, "I don't know that I want to leave this place. I don't know if I want to go anywhere." But he had an example in a father that would just talk to God and could hear God. And Joshua, in that place of his father creating an environment, learned how to communicate with God and learned how to hear His voice. You can't teach somebody how to hear God. If somebody asks you, how do you hear God? I could tell them how I hear God, but that's not necessarily the way they're going to hear God. And Joshua just sat there and listened and watched and partook in what Moses was experiencing and the relationship that he had with God, so that in the day that he needed to hear, he would know how to hear. The environment for growth was set up for Joshua. It was cultivated by Moses to pull the best out of him. Our legacy won't necessarily duplicate us, but pull the best out of those that you sow into, so that they may continue in what God has started in them. I want to sow a confidence into my children. I want to sow a knowing into my children. I want to sow a seed of faith into my children, that they would understand just because it's an idea doesn't mean it's a stupid idea. I often think of the man who invented the pool noodle, who's sitting there laughing at us because we thought his idea was stupid. And he's sitting on millions of dollars in his pool, probably full of pool noodles. The pool noodle. I wouldn't have invented that just because of the name of it. Call it the pool snake. Call it something else. Not the pool noodle. You're not building another you. You're building another son to fulfill the Lord's purpose in earth. Listen. We didn't have to sit there and watch how God taught Joshua how to lead people. Because you know what? Joshua had a father who showed him what good leadership is. He had a father who just invested into him. Not in word, but in an example. Listen. A teacher will tell you how to do something, but a father will show you how to do something. In Joshua chapter 1, just straight up, God's not putting up with anything. He says, listen, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, who was Moses' assistant, saying this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of God, or the children of Israel. Well, God, what about my 7-week training course? Or what about my 14-step lesson on how to be a leader and how to lead people? You know how to lead people because you had a good father, because you had a good teacher. You had somebody who decided to give their lives over to me and ultimately give it over to you. Listen, fathers will operate out of abundance. And a lot of what they sow into you, they sow into you because God has sown into them. The legacy of a father becomes the launching pad for a son. Not launching them into what the father's vision was, but launching them into what the Lord's vision is. Listen, I have things that the Lord has spoken to me, to us, that I know will not be completed in my lifetime. The Lord has spoken outside of Canada and the U.S., 10 countries that He wants us to be in. 10. And outside of Canada and the U.S., I've been to one. That is a lot of countries to invest in. And if I decided I'm going to live to another, to 120, that's still not enough time. I've asked the Lord for the fullness of my days. Listen, I know where I'm going to go when I'm not here anymore. I know that. And I can't wait to be with Him, but I'm in no hurry to get there. There's a lot of work to be done here. There are a lot of sons to raise up. Your legacy becomes your son's launching pad. Legacy itself is this: who's behind you? Who's beside you? We had a young lady who just gave her heart to the Lord last weekend. Just a beautiful testimony, the Lord's freedom. She walked out of a place of bondage into a place of absolute freedom. There's a legacy now. There's a legacy in her that is healthy enough now to sow in. There's a legacy in you. There's something in you that is healthy enough to sow in. So many of us have been so afraid of investing, so afraid of sowing in, so afraid of what if I don't have enough. Listen, you're not in an impoverished spirit. You have a spirit of abundance. There's an abundance all over you. There's enough for you to give away and still have enough to live on. And then enough to give away again. And then enough to live on. Enough to give away again. And then enough to live on. Enough to give away again. And then enough to live on. If the mantle that you carry upon your life is custom tailored, it's not of the Lord. If you think what the Lord has given you is just for you, it's not of the Lord. Because what He's given you is bigger than you. It will last longer than your lifetime in this earth. Think about it. Moses redeemed the children of Israel from Egypt to take them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land that the Lord had set up for them, and Moses himself never stepped foot in it. But raised the son to lead the people. And could you imagine being in Moses' shoes when he came to the realization that this mantle is not custom tailored to me. It's transferable. Elijah to Elisha. David to Solomon. There's so many examples in the Word of God that show us Paul to Timothy, Paul to Titus. Paul, how many times did Paul give his mantle away? How many times? And these are just the recorded sons that we know of. Legacy is just about who's behind you and who's beside you. Let's not over-spiritualize it. I mean, there's an incredible legacy in you, Colleen, that you're passing on even now. There's an incredible legacy in Pastor Chris that he's passing on even now. And there's a legacy in our home that we're passing on even now. See, I took a greater look at this when I was sitting there for the first time holding my grandson, and what a beautiful time it was, you know. I had to put him down every once in a while because my arms were getting tired. He's a big boy. But it made me realize something, and it's weird for me. It might not have been your experience, grandparents in the house, but I looked at this boy and I realized that he wasn't mine, but I could love him as if he was. And I looked at him and I thought even more about that experience when I had when I was 35 about having sons and having spiritual sons and investing in the generations to come. And I realized that this is the question I had to ask myself. And it's going to be a hard one to ask you. I had to ask myself, did I sow a good seed into my daughter that she can in turn sow it into her son? I will have a part to play in his life. I know that. I'll have a part to play in every single one of my grandchildren's lives. But their greatest influence will come from their parents. And if I sow a good enough seed into Hunter or Ryan or Jace or to Joey, that they can in turn sow it into their children. What have I shown them? And what is the legacy that I've left in their lives? And it's not a fearful thing. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a joyous thing. It's an exciting thing. That's the condensed version of what is in my heart for today. We will get to the fullness of it at 11:30, but can we just do something for a moment? This song, it has weight on it. It's a blessing that will speak into generations to come. I'm just going to ask the worship team, if you would, just begin to sing it over the congregation again. And if you would, if you know it, you can sing it, but the best thing that you could do in this moment is just receive. Just lean back. You can stand if you want. You can come to the altar. Thank you, Merrick, for breaking the ice. But just receive this today, would you? Just receive it today.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, Lord. turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you.
Children and their children.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you realize that God has never been against you, that God has been for you. He's been a light unto your path, and He has been that spark in your heart. The Lord bless you and keep you today. May He shield you with His protection, and may His angels lead the way.